moon, the birds, even or just as temporary or indifferent, will count down for our lives. Know therefore that they which are of faith, the sons or children of Abraham, and the fish, or things that God will justify the kingdom through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. Indeed, they are all nations are blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For many are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that endureth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do this. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not in faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that standeth on the truth, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the Lord. And by in Christ's name, we ask for the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Word is before us. We see in the presence. We weep and desire to see them come alive to our minds and into our hearts, that we might cherish it and before us. We thank you that your Word above all things put before us the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice and definite atonement, that we might from the day of the death of the cross to redeem us from all of our sins and our iniquities. We do ask above all things that you would be honored and glorified, and we ask also that this Word would go forth in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We know that your Word promised that you speak in the Word, that your Word would not return unto you void, but it would accomplish that which is it. And so let me trust you, rely on you for that. He comes to us for the amazing soul here. A young man or woman, an older person who stands in need of redemption, who needs to be saved from their sins. May it be made clear to them about the way of salvation, for there are many ways that have been put forth. So we ask for the options of the Holy Spirit for that purpose. Lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit, singing and praying the truths that are before us, for we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Has your faith ever been put to the test? In my circumstances, what happens sometimes that I'm talking about, that which you profess to believe, have you ever been put to the test? Have you ever had to be challenged to see if it is the genuine faith of the Bible? I often notice in the first five verses, because they're connected to what we want to, what we read and what we want to consider tonight. Paul asks a number of questions. Oh, foolish disciples, you have the wisdom to be saved. And then he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the works of the flesh, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, verse 3? Have you begun the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? The next verse. Have you suffered so many things in vain? It has been given in vain. Verse 5. He that ministers to you the Spirit, works miracles among you, that is by the works of the law, or by the students of faith. The verses that we read are in part an answer to Paul's questions that he asked in the first five verses. So it's good for us to examine ourselves and make sure that our spiritual experience is balanced. Do you walk in the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit? Well, remember, Romans 9 said, if you have not the Spirit, you're not of His. You're not of Christ. If you begin in the Spirit, which is the only way to begin, all you try is to continue in the power of the flesh. Likely, but how were you saved by faith, and now that you've been saved, are you walking in the Spirit? That is the thing that says, I'm walking not only in the Spirit, but walking by faith, saved by faith, and walking by faith. That's all you do, spiritual arguments. And that is the only approach, the most important approach to you in regard to it and examining even our own faith. What does the Lord say? Through the prophet Jeremiah, God said this, let the prophet that hath the burden tell the truth, but let him that hath my word speak my word. For what is straw compared to wheat? There is a lot of straw preaching and teaching, straw gospel from my soul. But what is that compared to the wheat? The wheat of the purity of the gospel, the pure gospel. Biblical preaching and biblical research and searching out the truth of the Bible are of utmost importance to a child of God. How do you want all this? Do you use the most eminent? Use Abraham's faith to show that the most eminent of the patriarchs was not saved by deeds of the law, but by faith, because the law was not yet given. The law, if it was not necessary in Abraham's case, it's not necessary in anyone else's case. The false teacher were wrong, even according to the Old Testament. So let's put it into perspective here. The Bible and the lesson and the Western churches were the false teachers, Judaizers, who were saying, oh, you need to go back to Moses and to practice the right of those times. Paul argued, no, let's go back further. Let's go back to Abraham and see how feeble your efforts are and how imperfect your teaching is about the matter of being just with God. And well, that's exactly what he does. And I will notice, look at each verse that we read, how Paul rightly revised the mission. Now look at verse 6 and 7. Abraham believed God and was acting for life. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. Now all these statements are quotations from the Old Testament and different quotations from different chapters. It will do you good to turn there and look at verse 6 because it is one of the most important passages in the Old Testament. Here it is where God made it. He said to Abraham, recording the 15 verses, he said to Abraham, in the 3rd verse there, I will make of you the father of many nations. And verse 6 says that Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, the greatness of God's call, the special call of God of all the nation like Abram, as he was called, was an idolater. He was raised, his father was a worshiper of idols, and likewise he did this. He had no knowledge of God, he had no desire for God, and so God called Of the worst of all are under the curse, for
The law shows no mercy whatsoever. I know there are people out in California who do very well to be against the law. Live the best you can and do all of these things. Well, here's what the law says. Look at verse 10 from Deuteronomy chapter 27. Look at this lesson concerning the law. And except you, you're a believer already, and you're not a believer, maybe it will arrest your attention. If you can see how futile are your efforts. Justify yourself by the law. Have you ever told a lie? And now you are a liar. And you're under the curse of God's whole law. A statement of condemnation. Have you ever taken something that was not yours? Stolen something? And now you are a thief. Have you ever killed someone? Well, no, I haven't. Remember how Jesus amplified the law? If you hate someone without a cause, you're guilty of the law. You're under its curse, is what the law says. Have you ever committed adultery? You know, no, I've never done that. Well, look at how Jesus amplifies in the Sermon on the Mount that law. He asks, you know, a message you know, the law says that I'm not committing adultery, but I have something under you. If you look upon a woman with lust, it may not be in that society, in that perverted world, it might not just be a woman, it might be a man, maybe the man is concerned. You are guilty of the law of Jesus. Find the curse. And you go all 10 commandments. And with curse, for it shows no mercy. Jesus thinks it can put this way. If you obey one part of the law, you're guilty of violating or breaking the entire law. That's the curse of the law. So, verse 6 says, for it means he put himself under the words of the law and said, I'm going to be justified this way. It is written, curse is anyone that does not continue in all the things that were written in the book of the law to do this. We hope people make him vow, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But we can be saying that the least is the object of divine wisdom. Of God's divine kingdom. We enter the text of the rich. We hate it, become unfeeling about it, offended with it, grieving, and the infected and facing purposes. You see, there is not the least mixture of love or love or perfection, nothing but pure faith from the child of God for you. The least requires infinite. So do you see then the impossibility of being justified by the law? Do you see the danger of trying to observe and perfect law by being imperfect due to it or really being perfect objects to it? It is impossible. Those people who say, well, I'm doing the best I can, well, let's stop doing that. The law is a man's perfection. People go, well, I'm not that good. People think that doesn't matter. The law is the sinner. The person who vows to justify himself apart from the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is an impossibility to be justified by the law and the impossibility of we're trying to observe a law, a perfect law with an imperfect duty rendered to it, and then to see the necessity of the sacrifice, the spiritual atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God in the Lord. For the justice of the Lord by faith. Now look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 4. The fact that we're perplexed with what was at the time he was saying, and the thought of God, and his sound were bad, and the fact that God watched out and knew to see what the Lord was going to do. And the Lord said to him, Israel is a blind people. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send those wicked Chaldeans. And they're going to say, it was intended to show Habakkuk the hope of Habakkuk 2:4. There, behold, his soul was secured, not a right of him, not a religious, but the mouse, a little by his soul. We find this elsewhere, that we are by faith in Christ, Romans 1:17, as well as here in Romans 3, and also in Hebrews 10:38. This little verse from the book of Habakkuk shows that God will bring judgment on the very long. And here it means keep on obeying the federal law and continue there to live by the Lord, and shall live by his. Look over in Romans 1, verse 16. Most past years involved with doctrinal people in the book of Romans. Romans 1:16 all for us not saying that the gospel of Christ for us is the power of God on salvation to everyone that believes to the Jew first. And all those who for there and in that gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written the just will live by faith. All right, then, to the Christian churches, Stephen and Abraham believed God and changed him for righteousness, which is to live by. Let's go on. Look at verse 12. And the law is not faith, but the man that doeth it shall live. This closer to from the Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 5, which says, shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. That's the verse from the Leviticus. Nobody was ever saved by doing the law of the law, because no one could ever fully obey and satisfy the demands of the law. And this is where Paul just presents this. Well, I'm afraid that some may be sitting there thinking, I'm getting to satisfy, I'm okay. No, you're not. You are a prisoner under the curse of God's holy law. If you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not okay. You are under the condemnation of God's holy and just law. It hurts you. It condemns you. Every time you say, well, I'm going to live, I'm going to do better, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, you're only bringing greater answer to that thing that's condemnation that is upon you. Because you're trusting not in the law, but trusting in your church. So you live by faith. But look at the book first, verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Or in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse
watching and wondering that was. From the sinners to me, it's worthy. And you can put your name in the eye of the Lord, his body. The sinners shall not remain all night upon the earth. But thou shalt be too wide with him that day, for he that is hanged is cursed of life. Yet thou art in the night of the Bible, which the Lord thy God gave thee before and built. And in those days, he that is hanged is the first of God. The law puts the cover of earth. The true worker is what Christ did. He died to remove that curse. He died on a tree, the law. And he fulfilled the word that was given there in Europe. And God is taking our curse upon himself. We are free to live in Christ. So the blessing that God brought to Abraham is now proclaimed to the Gentile God. This is proclaimed to prove and conclude that Abraham, the Old Testament law, solved the knowledge of God's ways to be there. So we see later on in the book of Revelation, Paul, the law was acting as the intercessor to bring us to Christ. And we get closer to how was Christ made in her voice. That's the truth. Christ was the person of his own free will. He became the curse for us. And all the sins of his people were actually laid upon him. In the place of, and all put in the place of riches, God made him Jesus be sin for us, though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. So I'm going to put it away, and it's so wonderful to give up in a few ways, and to sacrifice of Christ, never to be measured, and never to be offended. If you measure, on the road. If you measure the passion and courage of that, God only were his grief fully known. In full Christ, man was hurt and stood as he was. Here he is coming under the load of their sins, and God did not spare him, but smiles at him, and he must send us, lay his full vengeance on him, locking all his thunderbolts in him. This the curse and lifted itself upon him, and Christ was for all, sins all. And what are the bloody sacrifices in Christ that he did in the first place? We are redeemed from curse. The law is stopped. It means no more. So having accepted the curse, Christ liberated us from it. A man paid a ransom for our slaves. But Christ took on his books. A doctor is nothing to him, but Christ was always on his own. With his life, we are king. Here it is. Yes. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. His false teachers were not using the future correctly. They wanted to go low, Paul did not look at Abraham. And the Bible wouldn't let him. God justified Abraham. Turned to his faith, then reckoned to him for righteousness. What a great, thankful amendment we've been exposed to. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl is under, come under the power of no conviction at all. All I have to do is a mouthpiece for God. Only the Holy Spirit can convict you of your need of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can show you your guilt and your sin and your sinfulness and the curse that is on you, it you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not power to convict you how it works. That's the matter. I can't use that power to show you. I will show you every one of you, but I don't have that power. I don't have that faith. This guy's here. And the people of a person in the church is a manager of a gospel. A master. It's a herald. A herald is one that a message of gospel is a message that goes home. The better on your body, the news you met in Jesus. Have you heard the word of grace? Have you heard the word of salvation? Has the law condemned you? Have you been the first to take your honor if you're not a child of God? That curse, as long as you do not trust yourself or rest in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be under that curse as you don't go from the law of life. You will be under the curse and the condemnation of the eternal hell forever and more. Such is the invitation given to us by the Apostle Paul about those who are justified in sin by the works of the law. There is no justification at all. The law shows no mercy whatsoever. But mercy at the cross was late and graceful for us. Pardon that was multiplied. Bear my burdens, O and I'll live here. You too, and find your living at Shadow Cross. For God's book, and He is made out of personal forces of all His servants at the cross of the Lord, and His soul that believes, rest, and manage all hopes. Their deeds and do. They call the repentance of changing minds about sins and look to Jesus Christ, the author and the victor of God. Next is justified before God. So if you believe the letter of God in your name, it's time to do this. Our Father, thank you for the rich redemption that has found us. Your word of grace. Thank you that you plow under those preconceived ideas, those misconceived ideas that we have by nature about how we could be just before you, how we could be right with you. And those things that we had in our hearts and our minds that we thought would make us right with you. If that you were true and bad, Jesus will not come back, but He will come and die for our sins. This all first can be just a faithful faith and worthy of all the temptation that Christ has taken into this world to save the sinners. So may your Holy Spirit set your word of grace, and may you find it in the good place to make it known. Your soul that stands in need of salvation, all about what is wrong, into this wonderful, holy, liberating salvation, and the redemption of Jesus. In Christ's name, we pray these things.